So we are learning Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky's Torah on Parshas Mishpatim. That's a big schus. Can't take it for granted. So let's see what he says on Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim is chock full of halachas and dinim and a lot of mussar that comes out of the dinim. So let's take one thing tonight, very, very important. You say it. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. There's a Gemara that says that Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Kol ha'nosein pruta la'ani misparach b'sheish brachas." Every time you give a coin to an ani, you're blessed with six blessings. The elu brachas, and wow, the brachas that you get for giving a pruta to an ani. Havanim, let's count them together. This is what the Gemara tells us. Alei price l'rav lachmecha v'aniim rudim tavi bayis. Kisira aram v'kisisa miyubisar chaleisis alim. If that happens, if you give a poor person bread and you take care of them, oz, here we go. Yiboka keshacha erecha. Your light will break forth like the sun of the morning. V'aruchascha refuascha begufa b'mamein mehera titzmach. And your refua will sprout right away. You'll have a cure of all your ailments. The all of your righteousness will precede you. Kvayd Hashem yasvecha, oz tikr Hashem yane. So the honor of Hashem will gather you in. You will call out to Hashem, and He will answer you right away. To shaveya v'yamer hineni. So you will be answered. You will have Yeshua. You can't get better brachas than that. These six brachas that a person gets just by giving a little pruta to an ani. It's not you don't have to give $1 million. You give a penny to an ani, you give a nickel, a dime to an ani, you get six very, very supercharged turbo brachas. The Gemara continues, v'amifaisa b'dvarim, and if you appease him with words, and that's what, focus on those two words, because that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. If you are mifaisim misparach b'yudalat brachas, you get 11 brachas for being mefayasim. V'tafik l'rav na'afshecha v'nefesh na'anet taspia. And then here we go. V'zarach b'cheshecha yirecha. In the your light will shine in the darkness. V'afeloscha k'tzarayim. And your darkness will be like light. Will be like the morning. V'nachacha Hashem tamid. V'espia b'tzach tzoches nafshecha, v'atzmeisecha yachlitz, v'yisa g'gan roiva, you'll be like a very supple, moist garden, and your bones will be good, and your nefesh will be happy, everything is going to be good. U'kumaitzi ma'am ashalei chazum meima, v'vanu mucha charvas aylam, ma'istei dar v'dar t'kaimim, v'kari l'cha gaida peretz, m'shev nesivas l'shev, they'll call you the repairer of breaches, like very, very big brachas. If you're mefayis an ani bidvarim, so if you give him a penny, that's six. That's very good also. If you're mefayis an ani bidvarim, you go and you soothe him with your words, you appease him, you get 11 brachas. Eil devrei agumara v'kasam iru mikan ve'elach tzevach hashoev nasan u'pies kamu misparach. This is either or. If you give him money, then an ani comes knock on your door. You just throw a dollar at him, six brachas. You don't have a dollar, but you say a nice word to him. You give him a nice smile, and you offer him a drink, and you say, have a nice day, and, more power to you. Give him some nice chizuk. 11. The Miri says, let's say you do both. It's unbelievable. If you do both, you give him money, and you mefires him, then you really... it's a great, great. The dividends are tremendous. V'yeshli shela. So here comes Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, and he's asking a very good question. Ma pesher habitei v'amefaisei b'devarim. What does it mean hamefaisei b'devarim? It doesn't say if you're mechazkei b'devarim, you give him good chayindus, then ani comes to your door. You want to give him chizuk. You want him. He feels like he doesn't feel so good about himself. So you tell him, I love your tie. You look really good today, or you're a big talmud chacham. Thank you for coming. Whatever, you give him chizuk. I get that. What does it mean by mefayis b'dvarim? Mefayis means if you do something wrong to me, then you have to come and you have to be mefayis me. You have to appease me. You have to like say to me, I'm very sorry, I didn't mean it, I won't do it again. That's called pious. A random ani comes knocking on my door. Why do I have to appease him? What did I do wrong to him? Did I do something wrong to the ani? He's coming knocking on my door. I don't know him from Adam. I never met the man in my life. So why do I have to appease him? Why have to be mefayis him? Give him chizuk. Give him, tell him a shtickle tire. But why do you have to be mefayis? And what is that lashon mefaisli? B'mepagati ba'ani sha'alai lefaisli. I insulted him. I hurt him. I owe him something. That it's on me to mefayis him. Ha'roi lechtev ha'menachem. I'm a oedidai. I'm a mefaisli. You can be menachem, you can console him, you can give him chizuk, support him. What's pious? So he says like this, "Atshuva matzasi b'arachayim HaKadosh." So I found the answer to this question, says Rav Galinsky, in the Arachayim HaKadosh. Arachayim was a tremendous tzaddik. He's buried in he's buried on Har HaZeisim in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. And he was one of the great commentators on the Torah. We don't have too many commentators on the level of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Hasidim love the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. They learn it all the time. And if you learn all the time, they say the Aruch Chaim protects you when you come. There's many stories about how the Ani has protected people and giving them certain people were about to come and attack a town. And the Aruch Chaim says, because you're my Talmud, I'm telling you, get out. It's a good thing to learn the Aruch Chaim. But what makes the Aruch Chaim special is there are only a few people in the history of Klal Yisrael that are always called a Kaddish. It's almost hard to say just the Aruch Chaim. If you're used to talking about Mefarshim, you have to say Aruch Chaim. If you don't say Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, you have like this nagging like itch. You got to say the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Not too many people have that. Who else do you have that besides from Meir? The Zayir HaKadosh, good. Anyone else? Ari HaKadosh, good. Who? The Shla HaKadosh, excellent. I think that might be it. The Al Shech HaKadosh, very good. Al Shech HaKadosh. So, I think that might be about it. I mean, you could say, hey, look at anybody, but those are people that, what? The Beinu HaKadosh. Yeah, that's a good one, right? That's true. Yeah, we don't know. See. Yeah, I think we may have exhausted it, but if somebody's being called a Kaddish, you know that there's something special, right? You have to. That's pretty good. So, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says as follows on the pasuk, "Im kesef talves ami," if you lend money to my nation. Es ha'ani imach, the ani together with you. Funny lashon, right? If you lend money to my nation, the ani with you. Because of Rashi, she'im, when it says im kesef, if, zeina rishus el-chayv, it sounds like if you want to do it, you can. If not, no. This im, says Rashi, is a chayva. Im kesef talmud, it's not if you want to, it's when you do it. Im kesef talves ami, when you lend money, it's a chayv, it's absolutely an obligation. Umadua nechtav lashonim, so why did he use lashon of im? Elakach beirushoy, im kesef. Im raya ha'adam sha'ashem chanoi bekesef. Im kesef, meaning you come into money. You have money in your pocket. You have money in the bank account. You have money in the stock market. And you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has favored me with money. Yaiser mikvi mezaynaisa v'lechem lechel begalut. It's not just, I don't just have money for buying my, I'm making ends meet. No, I have much more money than making ends meet. I have, Baruch Hashem, my nice portfolio, nice retirement, nice nest egg. I'm doing well. I'm quite comfortable. Im kesef, if you have money, then what should you do? Yeda shenasnuhu kidei shetalves ami. You know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that money? Not to amass a fortune. Not to keep it in your bank account, not to keep it in your checking account, not to count it, not to look at it, not to keep it in your mattress. It's in kesef, you got money, you got extra money, talve. Talves Ami, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. I'll tell you why you have it. It's in order to lend it and to give tzedakah and to do good things with it. V'loy kemanik nedavu tzedakah, elas ha'ani imach. Chelkai shel ha'ani mufkad etzlecha kepikadin. What does that mean, es ha'ani imach? Zok the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The ani is with you. What does that mean, the ani is with you? A part of the ani is mufkad by you. It's like a pikadon. A pikadon is if I'm a shimer over something. If you give me a safer to watch, that's a pikadon that you entrusted me with. A part of every ani is in you and in me. Es ha'ani imach. The ani is mufkad by you like a pikadon. Umishalai atanay sein lai. Meaning, when I give an ani tzedakah, or a loan, or whatever it is I'm doing with the ani, I think that, what am I doing? Why is it hard for me to give money away if an ani knocks on my door? Because this is my money. If I give you, it always happens, doesn't it, that you, let's say you have a dollar, or you have a quarter in your pocket, you give it to an ani. Then you want to go upstairs and you want to get a Danish, which is $1.50, I think. But what do you have in you have $1.25. Shoot. If I wouldn't have given that quarter to the ani, I'd have a Danish now. And you have charata bet. Anyone have that ever? Yeah. Or no? Okay. All the time, right? That happens all the time. So you feel when an ani comes to you, or the pushka's going around, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I don't know, I might need the quarter to feed a meter, I might need it for a cookie, and it's my quarter, let him go get a job. I don't know. I don't want to give that money away because it's my money. That's the psychology. It's a miserly thing to do, or it's a stingy, a selfish, whatever you want to call it, but that's human psychology. I don't, unless I get something major from it, that's why yeshiva dinners, The biggest chap in the last 20 years in Klal Yisrael is called the Chinese auction. Why is the Chinese auction a great chap? Because it's painless giving almost. You know why? Because I don't feel like I'm giving my money away. It's fun. I get the chance to get a trip to Eretz Yisrael, to get an apartment in Yerushalayim, to get a jewelry, to get a new leichter, to get an art scroll shas. So it doesn't make me feel like I'm giving my money away. It feels like it's an investment almost. Something that, it makes it fun. And that these Chinese auctions make millions of dollars by this psychology. Because it's very, just time for me to write out a check, it's very hard. Because that, it's coming out of my bank account. That means I can't pay my shopping bills with it. It means I can't pay, I can't go to a local store and buy a pizza with it. And now I'm giving it to you. It bothers me. On a subconscious level, it's hard for a person to part with their money because they think it's my money and I don't want to share it. We don't like sharing. Just like children don't like sharing, when we get older, we also don't like sharing, just we're able to cover it up better. So we make better excuses, or we don't cry or scream that we don't want to share. We don't admit that, but we don't like sharing. That's the reality. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, the Torah is saying, Esa ani imach. You know how you give? When the ani comes to your door, instead of looking at him like he's taking my money away, don't look at it that way, but look at it like you're giving him what's his. You owe him. That money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that was quote-unquote extra, it's not extra, it's that you should be able to just salt it away in some portfolio. It was given to you in order to give to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had that in mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that money not for you to have it, but for you to give it. You're not giving your own, you're giving him. Let's say you would come to the door and you'd have an envelope that was earmarked for him. You wouldn't have a hard time giving it to him because it's not mine, it's his. That's how you have to look at the money that you give to tzedakah. It was never yours. It was his, it was the ani's. The ani is entitled to it, and you're just giving him what he is owed. That's why the Torah says, don't charge him ribbis. Because ribbis means it's mine, and you're going to pay me a fee for the use of my money. That's a mistake. You know why? Because it's not my money. I'm giving it back to you. It's your money. That's why I can't charge you ribbis, because it's not a fee for my money. It wasn't my money to charge you interest on. So listen to what he says. Listen, watch this one. V'nimtza sheyesh l'ani taina. So based on this, an ani, if that's true what we're saying, and it is true, the Archaim HaKadosh says it, so rightfully the ani has a taina on us. Me'acher v'kaspi mufgad etzlucha. Because my money is a pikadin by you, why is it that you're the rich guy and I'm the poor guy? Why is it that you're driving a car and I have to walk everywhere? Why is it that you're wearing a shtadi suit and I'm wearing torn pants? What's going on? If that money, if we're like partners, if that money is partly mine, why are you spending my money? That's the ani's taina on us. Uba b'kfifas kaima u'meshid yad l'tztaka. You're looking down your nose at me? Don't look down your nose at me. Don't look down on me. Because you're the guy in the house, in the nice warm house in the winter, and I'm on the street. I'm supposed to get the money that you have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that money to give to me. So there's a taina that the ani has to us. Manoimar. What should we say? Tzaydik, he's right. Pagati by me not giving enough money to tzedakah and to him, I have really wounded him. I have hurt him. V'alai lasseis leis rechushai, and I have to give him his money back. Ulefaisai, have to mefayas him. It's not just merely give him chizuk. No. I owe him an apology. Because at the end of the day, I should feel guilty, I should feel responsible that I am not giving him enough to make him whole. That he's never still an ani, and he has to go around from door to door, and he's got to live in very desperate situations. He has to come up at the end of the night, and his wife is like waiting, "No, did you make money? We have to pay our bills, you have to con ed. Sorry, no one gave me, no one opened the door for me tonight." That's a taina that's going to be on us, because it wasn't our money. It's such a fallacy that all the money that I have is mine. Who told you that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave part of it for you and part of it for the aniyim. And when we share, then we're okay. Then we could feel good about it. So if we don't share, we owe the ani a lot of pious. We have to mefayis him a lot because we're doing an avla to him. We're holding back money that's rightfully his. Imagine if he gave money to us as a pikadon, let's say 5 years ago he gave us $1,000 to watch, and now he comes to the door 5 years later, can I have my money back? No. What do you mean no? I'm not giving it back. Would we have to mefayis him? Of course we'd have to mefayis him. So that's sort of what we're doing. When we're not giving the ani the money that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, that's his, to be called by him, that's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing. We owe the ani, these aniyim that come to our door are not random people. And the people that call us for tzedakah, I mean, you know, you're still young, but like when you, mitzvah Hashem, you get married, you have a house, you have an apartment, people will constantly come to your house, and it's not always easy always to open the door. It's always during supper time, and it's always, and you don't always feel good walking away when they walk away. You know, a lot of times you give money and you give whatever, you give $20 to the ani. He says, "Can you give me a check? Give me some head checks. I'm down on this. It's not, I you know," and you feel very bad. But like then you feel bad that, you know, he just let me feel good. I gave you $20. Like make me happy. But like it's not their fault. They don't want to make you feel guilty. But you're the only one on the block that's opening the door for them. Everyone else is just like, "No, sorry, nobody's home." They're not opening, they're not giving them anything. So they have to come home with something. And if you can't afford it, obviously this is, you can't afford it, what are you going to do? But if you can afford it and you're just, then you have to mefayis the person, because it's not your money. You're holding back money that should really rightfully belong to him, and you're not giving it to him, and he has tainus on that. It's a hard concept to understand because it's so, you know, it flies in the face of everything that we think about when we think about money and wealth and investing and all that. And this is a very big chiddush that we're learning tonight, that it's not, though the extra money that we have is not for us. That's not to say that we shouldn't have money invested and all that. That's all nice. But there's there's money and then there's money. And if we have extra, it behooves us to part with it. It's very hard to open up your hands and to part with it, but that's what you have to do.
My mother had the quote about, if you do this, you have to do this. If you go to Dolmar, you have to do an equal bank bill for Tumchei Shabbos. If you knock down a perfectly good house, build a nicer one, you have to pay for the shul's, well, the shul's missing.
Yeah, there you go. There's a story that's told about Rav Schwab had a son, has a son. Rav Shimon Schwab, he has a few sons. One of the sons is he has a Beis Yaakov in Denver. His name is Rabbi Meir Schwab. The Beis Yaakov was like bursting at the seams. They had trailers that they were learning in, and the girls. And there was a very wealthy man in Denver that, like a multi-gazillionaire, and Rav Schwab always tried to get money at him. And every time he went to him, he says, listen, you know, we have a yeshiva, whatever, a girls' school, and you have to, you know, you have the money, can't you help? He always gave the same amount, $125. That was what his amount was. Like, the guy could have given $125,000 and not felt it, but he gave $125, that's what he gave. And then he was on his deathbed. You know, years later, yeah, after 30 years of giving $125, he's literally on his deathbed. And Rav Schwab goes to him and says, listen, you know, you're obviously not in the best matzav right now, and we need a building very badly. The girls are learning in trailers, and you know, it's freezing in the winter, it's boiling in the summer. We need a real building. So give us the money now. Write me out a check, and it'll say your name on the building. It'll be nitzchias for you. Everyone will be appreciative. La'ilam bad. Your name will be emblazoned on the building forever. What are you saving it for now? There's nothing to save it for. So he says, come back to me tomorrow. I want to think about it. So Rav Schwab wasn't sure if there would be a tomorrow, but he came back tomorrow, and he says, Rav Schwab, there's a check for you in the drawer. So he goes over to the drawer, opens up the, looks at the check, $125. So he says, I don't know if you remember what I told you yesterday, but it still stands. We need a building. $125 is wonderful. We don't need paper clips right now. We need a building. A building is what we need. And can you share it? The kids don't need it. Your grandkids don't. Your great-grand. You did a beautiful job. You're invested. Just give the yeshiva something. You got to give us something. He says, Rabbi Schwab, he says, my heart fully understands what you say, but it's my hand. My hand does not allow me to write out that check. Just won't let me do it. It will not let me write out a bigger check than $125. So that's the way it is. That's the reality. The reality is that our hands are very, very tight-fisted. Our hands are naturally clenched, and we can't. It's very hard for us to part with the money. Rav Yaakov Galinsky in this.
Part two to the story.
Yeah, what's the part two?
We're doing a few days, and the lady said, you told it. Why? How do you remember it? He said, I worked for a hospital. People came from SSO, in the operation. And I put on the flyer. They couldn't afford the operation. I put on the flyer. Don't make this guy a mistake.
So anyway, there's a longer shmooze over here, but that's basically the aside that we took tonight. It takes time. Like, this is something that we all, myself included, we all have to process this, because it's a chiddush. The Arachaim is telling us a very big chiddush, but it's emes. The Arachaim is saying it, then it's money in the bank, literally. And when an ani comes through, you cannot look at him like a stranger. So many times Forget about being mefayesim. People are mevaza aniyim all the time. The Beis Halevi writes about this. Beis Halevi had a heart of gold. We know crazy stories about the Beis Halevi, and how he's always, from a child already, he was always worried about the Yisaimim and Almanas, and he did tremendous chesed, and as a Rav in Slutsk and in Brisk, he was always a Tzadik Yisai Dailam. He writes in one of his, in the Beis Halevi, on Chumash, or it might be in the Drushas in the back, he says a famous line, it's in Great Jewish Wisdom, get the clips. He says,
what's the number?
You know?
On the sign.
It's on the sign. So, you know?
I have
it for 6. Anyway, so it goes like this. He says, when an ani is by you, when you have an ani that comes to your door, you have to treat him as well as you treat an esrog on Sukkos. What does that mean? An esrog is an inanimate object, right? But did you ever see people holding their esrogim on Shul, or the way that they go and they shop for an esrog and they're looking in carefully and they're like, they don't want to touch it too much because it's going to get a brown spot on it. Like they're looking to the, you know, they're mamash putting their whole ramach evarim into this fruit, which is great. It's a mitzvah. It's beautiful. But we give so much covet to this esrog. We put it in a beautiful silver box. We wrap it up carefully with a pitim and this and that, the sheitel, and there you put it in, and comes an ani to the door, a human being, with flesh and blood, with a heart, with a soul, with a mind, with feelings, and like, get out of here, scram, beat it, get a job. That's the way it is. I go to shuls all the time. You ever hear? Yeah, you never saw this. It's mamish them vaza. We don't you read the signs? No collecting during services. Like everyone's always on so makbid on the rules of the shul. It's the first rule. Not ever. They talk during davening. That's also on the sign. They don't pay their pledges. They don't do anything else. But the one thing that everyone's makbid about: don't collect during davening. So an esrog says the base like, ooh, esrog is kayish kadash. An ani feh. He says, when an ani comes to you and he's at your door, he's a chefza shel mitzvah, says the Beis Halevi. He's no worse than an esrog. He's a human being. He's alive. He has feelings. He has a wife. He has a family. He has bills to pay. He's got people running after him to get money out of the guy. Nabuch, he doesn't have money, but they're trying to squeeze money out of him. You have to help him. He needs your help. But no, instead, not only do you not help him, not only are you not mefayesim bedvarim, you're mevazim bedvarim. And this is something that the Beis Halevi and the Arachayim HaKadosh is basically saying, we need a completely different viewpoint when it comes to Aniyim. Aniyim are not subhumans. Aniyim are you and me. They're not subhumans. They might be sitting on a street corner in Mea Shearim asking for money. Maybe you don't even want to touch them, so you drop the coin in from a distance and you keep walking. They're human beings. They're you and me. They're not different than they're a Yid. They have feelings, they might be Tamid Chachamim, they have a lot of experience in life, they just had a bad break. They had a bad break, something happened, somebody got sick in the family, they had to go to America, they lost their job, something happened, something terrible happened, but they're our responsibility. Who's going to take care of them? If not, let's say Rachman al-Islan, it was us, what would we do? We would go knocking on doors. Think it would be pleasant to go and knock on the door. The biggest bracha that you can get, and sometimes you have aniyim that come to the door, they give you this bracha. They said, you should always be on the inside of the door, never on the outside of the door. Because if you don't know how to treat people when you're on the inside of the door, very often, Rachman al-Islan, it could flip. So galgal achayza, the world is a spinning wheel. And if you don't take care of people when you have the money, then Rachman al-Islan, you might not have the money tomorrow. An ani is somebody that they're not strangers, they're you and me, and the money that we have is not theirs, it is theirs. It's just a matter of like returning the money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to give them, and we give it to them, and we should thank them for taking the money. It's a pikadon, I'm giving back the pikadon. If you have that in mind, if you see the money in your wallet as not being all yours, but being partially yours and partially theirs, it might be a little bit easier next time to part with the money, because you're not parting with your own money, you're giving him back what's really his money.